Amen. No matter what's going on, I woke up this morning. They told me the lights might be out. It's twinkling back and forth. I talked to my wife, and she said, "We go to Temple of Faith. We're going to have church." And sure enough, we're having church. Amen. Amen. And it's time to sing and it's time to shout to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. Hey, the darkness can't hold us back because the light of Jesus is light enough to brighten up this whole world. Amen. God is truly good because I feel like singing. I feel like shouting. And most of all, I feel like praising the Lord. Oh, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Father, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do, Father. Father, as we come forth with your word, Father, we just pray that you send out your word, that it will not come back void, Father. Minimize me and maximize you, Father, that your word will go out and someone can say, "What must I do to be saved, Father?" We love you, we praise you. As we go through this day, we love you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our God is a good God. We're going to, and all the time, God is good. Our scripture is going to be coming from Psalms 91. I know it's going to be tough for us to get it. It's going to Psalms 91. We're going to be starting at verse 1. In verse 1. So Psalms 91, verse 1, and then also, you can mark your books. We're going to give you some time to get there. We're going to go all the way to the back of the book and go to Revelations chapter 22, verse 16. Again, that's Revelations chapter 22, verse 12. We're going to start at verse 12. I'm sorry. That's Revelation chapter 22, starting at verse 12. We're going to start with Psalms chapter 91. And why are you finding it? I just tell you this little quick little story. There's these two boys go to church with their grandmother. They were about 7 or 8. And they would see every Sunday about 11:30. This lady would jump up and she would start screaming. She would start shouting. She would run through. And after she got through running, the ushers would come by to her. They'd give her they'd fan her down. They'd give her a little piece of candy. And they'd give her something to drink. And the boys, they looked at it and they said, Grandma, what is she doing? She said, "Boys, don't worry about it. She just caught the Holy Ghost." And every Sunday, man, automatically at 11:30, she did that. So the boys caught wind of that and said, So one Sunday, about 11:27, the boys jumped up and they started running and screaming through the vestibule. And the grandma said, "Come here, boys, what y'all doing?" I said, "Mama, Grandma, we caught the Holy Ghost. Now where our candy and where our drinks?" So we got to learn that the Holy Ghost, we just can't catch it like that. If you have them, you have them. And if you don't, you don't. It's one of those things. And so we got to be careful, too, about what we do in front of our kids, because they catch on to everything. And again, we're going to be coming to Psalms 91. Psalms 91, we were talking with the youth. We've been studying about and talking about counterculture, how what God says versus what our culture is saying. And we're reviewing the six things that Pastor Davis has put on our hearts about. Six things that we do with God's word. And do y'all know those six? We talk about them all the time. You got to hear God's word, read God's word, study God's word, memorize God's word, meditate on God's word, and apply God's word. And that's what we've been talking to the kids about. And we've been focusing this month on memorizing God's word. So what we did was we want to reignite the Club 66, and they were like, "Whoa, that's a lot of passages in the Bible." So we started going through them. So for the last couple months, we've given them all the passages that they had to read. First, we said you just got to memorize certain verses. But when they realized they weren't just verses, they were full passages, they were like, "Man, do we have to memorize them all at one time?" I said, "No, we just go one by one." And the first one that we started with was the 23rd Psalm. And I realize sometimes that everybody doesn't know the 23rd Psalm. And working with our youth, and we start talking about the Lord is my shepherd and what it takes to be a good shepherd. And the awesome responsibility that the shepherd has to protect his sheep. And to lead us, that leads us where we are today. What does it mean to be inside his flock, in his pasture, and under God's grace? And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about. And we're going to be in and out of the gate of Christ. Psalms 91, it reads, "He that dwelleth in secret places of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowls and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terrors by night, nor the arrows that flyeth by day." See, this is what it means to be part of the flock of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that good shepherd. And he's blessed us with the under shepherd in the name of Pastor Rochelle Davis. And he's blessed us. That shepherd's role, he carries a rod. He carries a staff. And that staff, we get where we get the candy cane. And you don't realize that sometimes the shepherd's role is to turn his rod upside down and just grab you by the neck and just wriggle you right back in. So sometimes we don't want the pastor to come grab us by the neck and wrangle us right back in. We start to catch a little attitude, but that's the responsibility that he has. And that's the responsibility that God has. But one thing that I want you to understand, this is the first thing I want you to understand, that God's gate. When we talk about God's gate, I'm defining it as God's protection and God's grace. So when you hear me talk about the gate, we want you to visualize, because it was before that they used to roam throughout the Israel and throughout the places. But nowadays, especially in America, they still have sheep. You still have little shepherds and you have little shepherd dogs, but we keep them inside the gate. And we want you to understand that gate that Jesus Christ has is a fortress. It's just not your everyday four-wall house. It's a fortress that Jesus Christ has. And it's a place that protects you from the enemy. That's why we put up the gate. And not only is the gate a fortress, it's a refuge. Jesus Christ is a refuge. It's a place where you go to seek safety. If you see the refuges that we have, when somebody goes through violence, they go somewhere where they can feel safe. They can go somewhere where they can seek help. They go somewhere where they can seek counseling. It's a place of comfort. When you go into the refuge of Jesus Christ, you have all of these things. Because everybody don't have all the answers, but I guarantee you, my Father named Jesus has all the answers. And he's a safe place. And some of y'all may be too young to remember, but my growing up where I grew up, my grandparents' house used to be that one house on the in the area that everybody went to. And no matter what was going on, you can come find your kids at my grandmother's house. Everybody used to drop their kids off at my grandmother's house. Somebody was going to be there all the time. And some of y'all remember those houses where it was a place, it was a refuge for the kids, because other parents understood that it was a place of safety. They didn't have to worry about what was going on in the community because they knew that it was going to be taken care of. They even knew if you didn't make it back in time for dinner, they knew Ola Mae was going to give you a little bit of dinner. You were going to have something to eat. She was going to stretch what she had to make sure you had something to eat. And that's what I want to tell you, that Jesus Christ is that refuge. It's that place where when you're going through times of trouble, you can go to Jesus Christ. You can seek him as a refuge. It's a place where trusted people look at and say, "Where can I go? Who can I talk to when I got no one else to talk to? I can go to the refuge, and his name is Jesus. And see, like many of us, we even though we know we got a safety place, I know just like me, we like to wander away. Somebody always got something better at their house. No matter what it was, no matter, everybody was at my grandma's house, but I wanted to go to somebody else's house. We always wander away, and that tells me, that reminds me of a story, and I know Miss Chocolate used to tell this story about, there was a guy who was going to work, he had two kids, a little boy and a little girl, and he told him he was going to work, so he had to catch the bus, and he said, you know what, y'all can be here, but I just don't want you to go outside the gate. And so he goes to work, and a little later, some of the boys come over for his son. He said, come on, we're going to go down to the creek. You want to go down to the creek with us? He said, no, I can't go outside the gate. I can't go nowhere. And they said, oh, man, you're a punk. Come on, man, go with us down to the creek. So he goes with them down to the creek, and what they start to do, they start to throw rocks off the bridge on their way to the creek. And the boy was trying to stop them from throwing rocks off the bridge, and somebody threw a rock and they hit a car. Boom! You heard this crash, and boy, them boys start running. They start running back, and back in the day, they were running back, but somebody seen them. There's some old people that seen them. I seen them, I seen y'all. Because it used to be a time where you used to sit on the porch. And I seen y'all. The boy said, it wasn't me. He was running to his house, and his daddy had gotten off the bus, and his daddy was walking home. And the old lady seen the daddy come out. Oh, I seen him. The little boy ran down there and said, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. And dad said, boy, be quiet. He listened to the old lady, tell him, that was them boys down there, you heard about that accident. That was your boy was involved with it too. Oh, daddy, that wasn't it. Boy, be quiet. He got to the house. He said, I only got one question to ask you. He said, did you go outside the gate? Many of us have gone outside the gate. We spend too much time outside the gate. See, I come by to ask you today, have you gone outside the gate? All else doesn't matter. We tend to make up excuses of why we went outside the gate, but that doesn't answer the question. It's, did you go outside the gate? And if you turn with me, I want you to understand that the gate is for your protection. But sometimes we like to wander outside the gate. If you will flip to me to Revelations chapter 22. Revelations chapter 22, verse 12. We're going to start at verse 12. Because sometimes we don't understand. And this is for my kids, because I've learned now, especially my youth and with my kids, we tell them, don't go outside the gate. You know the first thing that come out of their mouth? Why? 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 Why I can't go outside the gate? I should be like my granddaddy, just like, look, boy. You didn't ask granddaddy why. You knew why. And I want to help you understand, the second thing I want you to help you understand, found in Revelations chapter 22, verse 12 through 16, as I read it, it says, and behold, I come quickly, and my rewards is with me, to give every man according to his works shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the gate, through the gates into the city. This was James as he went and he talked about his when he got to heaven, what he seen. Enter into the gates. Enter into the gates. But then the word goes on to tell us what's outside the gate. And 15, it says, for without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. See, some of us don't understand why we don't go outside the gate. Jesus tells us why we don't need to go outside the gate once we sought his refuge. And then I want you to read number 16. It says, I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify unto you these things in the church. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So this is the church. He said, upon this church, upon this rock, I build my church. And we come by to tell you in this church, there are dogs outside the gate. There are murderers outside the gate. There's some things that are going on outside the gate. So we're going to tell you, don't go outside the gate. So you got to understand, things of the world are outside the gate. Like homosexuality is outside the gate. Pornography is outside the gate. Drugs, alcohol are outside the gate. And I want you to understand, disobedience to God is outside the gate. Not doing what God told you to do is outside the gate. See, it's like the father in the story. He wasn't telling them they couldn't have friends in. He didn't tell them they couldn't do stuff around the house. He just told them, don't go outside the gate. See, and it tells us in verse 16, it says, Jesus has sent my angels to testify these things in the churches. See, Jesus is telling you, don't go outside the gate. See, we've got to learn there's things outside the gate. We've got that. In order to go outside the gate, he didn't say you can't go outside the gate when I come back home. He just said, while I'm away, you can't go outside the gate. See, he wants to let you know when you go outside the gate, you better have on the full armor of God. See, some of us, we like to go outside the gate. We're in a rush and we leave some stuff out. And the devil starts to shoot stuff at us. And we have to go back. Lord, where are you? Where are you? And he tells you, I told you not to go outside the gate. And we've got to understand that. And number three, don't let people make you go outside the gate. Sometimes some people can make you go outside the gate. See, our house is people hung around our house a whole lot. You know, some of those people that they hung around your house so much that people thought they lived there. See, they hung around so much and they became your cousins, your play cousins. Everywhere you went, that's my cousin, that's my play cousin. But I stopped by to tell you, we got too many of y'all playing play Christians. We got too many of us playing church. Just like we used to play house, we're playing church. Too many of them are hanging around the edge and they're not in the gate. They're on the edge just telling you what you need to be doing. We're seeking their advice and they're on the edges. They're play like Christians. See, we got to stop being play Christians. See, I don't got nothing against play cousins, but I do have a problem with play Christians. See, and I got a problem with when we play church. See, we've got to understand that it's those play Christians that help you start to compromise who you are and what you believe. It's all right. You can take a little drink. It ain't nothing wrong. MGM and Motor City, it's all right. You can take a little bit of your tithe money and put it in MGM. It's all right. Because they're outside the gate. See, and many of us, we allow people to move us outside the gate. You ever had somebody, when you see them, it makes you lose your religion. When you start talking, when they say something, I've seen people even here where somebody says something, it can be something nice, but it bothers the other person. You can see the scowl in their face. See, many of us allow people to take us outside the gate. We spend too much time at the edge of the gate. Stop looking to people that are outside the gate to give you the comfort that only Jesus can give you. We got to stop playing with our play Christians and bring them inside the gate. We go outside the gate and we start making excuses on why we go outside the gate. Because I know sometimes when I talk about Donald Trump, it gets me to the edge of the gate. So some people you talk about, it just takes you to right there. I mean, your kids can take you to the edge of the gate. I'm learning these things, but I stop by to tell you, don't get too close to the edge of the gate. See, and some of y'all think y'all can sit on the fence. See, the gate that Jesus Christ had, it doesn't have where you can sit on it. It's got some thorns. He said, you can't sit on the fence. You're either hot or you're cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. So we need to make a decision. Are you in or are you out? You got to make a decision today, because either you got the Holy Spirit or you don't. You got to make a determination today. Am I going to do what God told me to do? So sometimes we can let people take us outside the gate. It's not them telling us what we need to do. Sometimes we let people take us outside the gate when God told us to do something and we don't do it. God has told you to do something, and you let somebody outside the gate say, well, I wouldn't do it at that church. I wouldn't do it with those people. They're going to say this. They're going to say that. But God told you to do it, and if you didn't do it, you're outside the gate. We've got to understand that. We've got to understand, what does it mean to be inside the fortress? What the peace and refuge that God has for us. That's number one. Number two, you got to understand what's outside the gate. There's some dogs outside. It's amazing. The Bible just, I mean, they laid it out. He said some dogs out there, some homemongers out there. I mean, he just laid idolatries out there and people that like to make lies out there. Some of us will allow people to get us in on their lie. We allow people to take us outside the gate on their lie. You couldn't make it up on your own. You wouldn't tell it, but you let somebody else tell it and you kept quiet about it. Sometimes we let people take us outside the gate. And we got to understand that we get too close to the edge of the gate. God don't like you when you're, he doesn't like it when you're lukewarm. He's like, I can take it. Think about this. I can take it if you're outside the gate. You just don't know no better. But when you come on the inside of the gate, then you act like you want to be on the outside of the gate. I don't get that. I don't understand that. You know everything that God has brought you through. You praise him on Sunday, every Sunday. You jump up and you shout and you scream. Then you go on the act like people on the outside of the gate. See, we've got to understand. And number four, you got to start inviting people inside your gate. There's nothing wrong with your home. This is God's kingdom. I don't care where you call a church home, but this is God's kingdom. We got to start inviting people over to your house. I remember sometimes we got kids that like to go over to everybody's house, and they were like, look, why don't you invite them to your house? I want them to my house because I know what they're doing in my house. I know the rules that I set in my house. See, God is telling you, I know the rules, invite them into my house. God's got many mansions. You can do almost everything that you would love to do, but there's rules in God's house. Just think about it. I know we got some kids that go off and they come back, then they want to act like they can do anything in your house. I used to tell granddaddy, used to like, look, I don't want you to pay no bills. If you pay some bills in my house, you think you got to say so in my house. See, this is my house. And these are my rules. See, and that's what God did. Jesus said, I paid it all. This is my house. You got all the comforts that you need in my house. I'll heal you. I'll touch you. But this is my house. And we got to respect. These are holy grounds. And we got to respect God's gate as holy ground. See, and you need to learn to invite people into your gate. The gates of the locks on this gate is always open. But you need a key. See, it's for all your play cousins and all for your play church folk. They can get adopted in into the church. They can. God said, I'll adopt them in, engrave them in to my house. See, and that reminds me, we got a harvest fest that's about to come up Thursday. In that harvest fest, I want you to look at that harvest fest. It's just like an open house for the Kingdom Adopting Agency. We're out there telling everybody, come one, come all, to the Kingdom of God. Yeah. We're going to show you what the Kingdom of God has to offer you. Come on in. And we got to invite people into our house, but we can't act like everything when people come into our house. We want them to come into our house, but you've got to learn something. I learned this the hard way. If nobody respect the house, we had something going on and we broke something in the backyard. And when everybody left, granddaddy called us in and we got whooping. Why we got whooping? Well, this is your house. You know the rules. You know what's supposed to be going on. And when we invite people in our house, we need to show them the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. We've got to show them what God has given us. We got to let the world know. Stop letting the world talk about church folk and you sitting up and saying, yeah, they're just as bad as everybody else. You're one of us too. We used to joke about that. I mean, we used to be on the bus. We used to do mama jokes. Then one day somebody said something to my uncle. He looked at me and said, no, I don't do mama jokes. Don't talk about my mama. Don't talk about my family. You can talk about everybody else. I laugh when I'm with you. But don't talk about my family. And when people start talking about the Kingdom of God, we need to do the same thing. No. This is my family. We don't talk about the Kingdom of God. But you bring them into your house. And you bring them in, whether they're homosexual or anything, but you got to help them understand, these are the rules to my house. You can't go in my mama's house and open up her refrigerator. I know you do it at your house, but you don't do it at my house. See, and those are the rules. And God said, you know what? In order to get adopted in, it's very easy. All you got to do is follow the ABCs. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died and rose on the third day. And confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And we're going to adopt you into the Kingdom of God. There you find a wrestling place for those that are hurting. You find a counselor for those that are in the courtroom. You find a father for the fatherless, a mother for the motherless, a healer in the grace and in the resting place of Jesus Christ. We got it all in our house. So stop going outside the gate. You need to make a decision today. When the doors of the church are open, are you going to be like your play cousins, or are you going to be like the Jesus Christ? Are you in or are you out of the gate of Jesus Christ?
That's what they need to make. That's what they need to make.